Washington Fair. Good morning, and it's nice to have you with us as we're doing that wild thing at the Puyallup. It's our second day here at the fair on KTPS, but this is day 7 out of the 17-day run of the fair, and it'll be our pleasure to be with you today on kind of a cloudy day. Well, maybe it's clearing up out there a little bit now as I peek out the window. Looking a little better, but it certainly has cooled down from yesterday, and I think for most fairgoers, that is probably pretty good news. I'm Art Popham. It'll be my pleasure 3 times today to join you. We'll be with you right now for 15 minutes, and coming back again then at 1:15 and 2:15, to introduce some of the people who make the wild thing, I guess. Our first two guests are a brand new fair goer, making her first trip ever to the Western Washington Fair. She is brand new to our area. The superintendent of the Tacoma School District, Mrs. Lillian Barna, will join us in just a moment. But joining us right now is a man who came across the street to be here with us right now, and he's doing the wild thing for, I won't even ask him how many years. He is Frank Buster Brulette, who is the retiring superintendent of public instruction for the state of Washington. Buster, it's nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, Art.
Is it sort of nostalgic to come to the Puyallup, knowing this may be your last trip here as a superintendent?
Well, certainly. This is a milestone. I've been coming here since I was 4 or 5 years old because I was born in this town, and I've always lived very close here. And this is a community event, not just something you come to. Everybody in Puyallup works here. My family, I've worked here. My children have worked here. It's really a community affair, something we all enjoy.
As you look back over your 16 years as the superintendent of public instruction, what events come to mind as really the high points for you?
Well, I think there have been a lot of things. There's been a period of transition from a decentralized local system to a highly centralized state system. And we've seen full funding come about, a lot of vocational activities. I think one of our great successes in the last few years has been the expansion of things like Bates, and skills centers and high school programs. There's just been a lot of things, teacher education. In 16 years, you see so many things happen, and most of them I think I'm very proud of.
As you leave, I'm sure you never feel the job is truly complete. You can stay in here the rest of your lifetime and beyond and never really finish the job. But where do we need to go from here? What are the directions we need to pursue?
Well, I think that there's one thing that's really paramount to all school districts. We have still not fully funded the program. Basic education is not fully funded. Districts are still heavily dependent upon levies. Teachers' pay is not what it should be. It's dropped from 6th in this state to 18th. You know, class size is too big. Those are the kind of things we really need to work on. At the same time, schools are going to be changing. The school we know of the past, where only reading, writing, and arithmetic was taught, becoming more social organizations. We may be not too excited about that, but we're going to provide daycare, we're going to provide teenage pregnancy activities. We do all those kind of things the family used to do because the family's not around anymore, and that's going to change the complexion and the direction of schools in this country and in this state.
You know, Buster, it distresses me to see the level of public apathy when it comes to education and when it comes to finding a successor for you, for instance. I'll bet many of our viewers probably couldn't name very many of the candidates who are trying to succeed you. How do we get people, adults, more involved in education in this state?
Well, that's a key factor. We talk about money and we talk about changes, but the thing that's happened is that we have had a bad deterioration of community involvement, not community support. They still vote levies and, you know, they do some things for us, but we don't have the individual participation, and that makes a real difference in the classroom. I wish I knew. If I knew, I'd bottle it and sell all around the country, because everyone's looking for a way to involve our citizens and our parents, particularly, more in the school system. Involvement is going down, not up.
Is that up to the superintendent of public instruction to find programs to increase that, or is that up to the individual school
district? Well, I think superintendent can help, but it's something local. It's got to be done locally. We can't decree it from the state of Washington from Olympia level, but it needs to be done, and we need to help local districts devise ways for doing that.
Now, you have not endorsed a successor to yourself. You've not come out for any candidate. Tell us, though, if you would, maybe this is a roundabout way of trying to pin you down here, what quality should your successor possess?
Well, I think a successor should know something about schools. Obviously, it's a major administrative job. Need to know something about finance. Need to certainly know something about politics, because the great school board is a state legislature. Mm-hmm. Need to know how to deal with people. The job is a consensus job, putting groups together and getting them to work together. You just don't decree something. You've got to get the teachers and the citizens, the parents, everybody together to agree to do it. And I think those are the kind of attributes that are necessary for this job.
Is the biggest job of the new superintendent to get the legislature to fund education more fully?
I think that'll be the number one job of a superintendent, is to get some money into the system.
So getting money from the legislature is the most important thing.
I think so, yes.
Buster, you've done a great job in your 16 years. It's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so
Thank
much
you
for joining
much.
Us. And
Thank
we'll
you.
Be talking with you again. In fact, I want to get you on radio some night and talk a couple of hours about your 16 years. It's covered a little history, that's for sure.
Thank you very much.
Frank Buster Brulette is our guest. He's the superintendent of public instruction, retiring this year after 16 years at the helm of the state of Washington's education. Coming up in just a moment, the lady who heads up Tacoma's public schools, Lillian Barna, will join us. But first, let's go outside for a minute. You've looked at us long enough for this particular report. Let's go outside and check out what's going on outside at the fair, then back to talk with Mrs. Barna. Hi, once again, Art Popham back with you. After you had a little chance to see what's going on outside, don't you want to come on out here and be part of this? Went out, have a scone, have some lunch, one of those great onion burgers, and have a fun day doing the Western Washington Fair, that wild thing. Here's a lady who's doing it for the first time. She is the brand new superintendent as of July with the Tacoma School District, Mrs. Lillian Barna. Mrs. Barna, nice to have you here.
Thank you, Art. I'm just delighted to be here.
How do you like the fair so far?
I love it. Who doesn't like a fair?
You lived in Albuquerque. You probably have cowboy boots somewhere
That's
in your
right.
closet, don't
I sure
you?
I sure do.
Have to dig them out, coming out and do the Puyallup.
Right. I'm going to do that.
We want to talk some about your early months here at the helm of Tacoma Public Schools. What are your impressions after trying to get into the process?
Well, I'm very impressed. I think we have some good people here. I think there are a lot of things that we need to do. This board brought me here to prepare this district for the 21st century, and that's what I intend to do.
It sounds as if you'll have some changes in your auditing procedures. The state auditor was not too impressed, it sounds like, with the bookkeeping.
I know.
You inherited that problem. Clearly, that
I
was
sure
not
did.
Under
yeah,
your administration. But now what you have to do is solve the problem. What do we
do? That's right. And that's one of our goals that we've established, is to zero in on business and finance division and to establish procedures that are going to be effective and efficient and auditable and accountable. And I'm really pleased that the school district had the foresight to hire an internal auditor. You know, they did that 2 years ago. So as a first-timer, an outsider coming in and observing, I do want to make the comment that if they didn't have an internal auditor, they might not have had as many things surfaced as were surfaced. But I think that's healthy. And of course, I think that gives me a wonderful opportunity to make sure that I clean everything up and that we have a district that's fully auditable and accountable.
So your own internal auditor then actually pointed out some of the problems that the state in turn pointed out.
That's exactly what happened. Many of his items are incorporated into the report.
Do we get a whole new accounting system for the school district? Do we start from scratch? What do you do here?
No, I don't think so. I think you just put procedures and rules in place that assure that some of the audit exceptions that occurred don't occur again.
Now, I know you have a number of programs you want to implement with regard to teachers. You regard them certainly as very important entities. And one of the things you want to see is an Employee Resource and Renewal Center. Tell us what that fancy title means.
Oh, that means that's going to be a wonderful center where people are from all categories of employees are going to be able to go in and take some in-service training and do some activities that are going to renew them, restore them, and recommit them to the profession.
How do you achieve that? That's a very laudable goal, but how does it occur?
Well, I think you have to have the employees buy in. And the way we do that is we develop a comprehensive staff development plan, which is developed with the help of the employees in the district. And so I think there'll be lots of offerings that are going to be pretty tempting for people, and they will take advantage of them. That's been the history.
So the employees do want this. This is nothing that has to be forced on them, in
other
words.
That's right, and it's voluntary. But we have found in the past, where I've done this, that there's soon a long waiting list of people who want in. So I don't anticipate any problems.
Now, just last night, you held a major public hearing on what you call strategic planning. Tell us what this is all about.
Well, of course, we're expected to prepare for the change that's coming, and our society is changing in a much more rapid way than ever before. And so we want to prepare the future for us. So that means plan change, and that's what strategic planning is all about. We are going to very methodically, logically, reasonably plan for the future of this district and these youngsters that we have responsibility for.
And the community has input in this process.
Absolutely. We're going to have hundreds of people involved. Over 400 people will be involved on either the planning team or on action teams that actually implement the plan. So this isn't just a big fancy plan that's going to be hung up somewhere or placed on someone's desk and nothing ever done with it. This is going to be a living, vital, dynamic plan that's going to be implemented.
Do you have a timeline? When do we start to see some of these things occur?
We're going to start the action right at the end of this year. So we'll have our action plans, our action teams going through this year, and then we'll begin to implement as soon as the action plan is finished. So that'll mean within 9 months.
Mrs. Barnett, let's talk about your plans for the minority community and improving the educational opportunities for minorities, because they're going to be a growing segment of the population, clearly. What do we do to upgrade their education?
They certainly are going to be. We anticipate that by the year 2000, over 50% of our youngsters are going to be minority in the Tacoma Public Schools. So I think we have to recognize, for instance, language differences and cultural differences, and develop programs to accommodate those differences. We've got to give our teachers the sensitivity to the changes, and we've got to place programs in our schools that are, for instance, going to teach English as a second language, that's going to give our students second language acquisition who are monolingual English, on the other hand. So we will have quite a number of programs in place, and it'll be done through the strategic planning process.
Mrs. Barna, thank you so much, and again, welcome to the Western Washington Fair.
Well, thank you, Art. I appreciate being here. I love it.
It's hard not to love it. Come on out and love it yourself, why don't you? We're doing the Puyallup, that wild thing, on a cooler day today, thank goodness. We'll be back with you on TV again at 1:15, and get who our guests are going to be then, Sasquatch and Mr. Little. That is a severe change from Lillian Barna and Buster Brulette, I can tell you for sure. Be sure and stick around, join us for that. We'll be back with you then at 1:15 with more from the fair. Meanwhile, you have a good lunch. Come on back out and join us. And remember also, we'll be back at 2:15, and then Homework Hotline comes to you from right here at the Western Washington Fair between 4 and 5. Your chance to come out and watch some live TV. So while you're doing that wild thing, if you want wild, come watch live TV. That can be wild, friends. Come on out and be part of it yourself as we're doing that wild thing with you on a Thursday, headed for what should be the biggest weekend of the fair. Traditionally, that middle weekend is the biggest weekend. So come on out and join us, and we'll see you at the Puyallup.